Hello, this is Rabbi Dr. F.L. Zoham, the scholar in residence of Central Square Minyan. And in this blog post, I want to talk more generally about Torah and how we learn Torah and what we're doing. And the real challenge of the kind of more modern approach to things, what modern orthodoxy does, as opposed to kind of the more to the right approaches on reading Torah. And what's really going on and what's the debate about and how does it work? And the assumptions that are going on. And the best book I found on this is actually quite a radical book by Professor James Kugel. He was in Harvard University. What was he? Professor of Hebrew at Harvard University. He's retired now since 2013. A brilliant scholar, Jewish, traditional Orthodox, he says. And although some people disagree, obviously, in the way he writes and talks, but I think a brilliant man. And in his book, How to Read the Bible, A Guide to Scripture Then and Now, he explains what the assumptions are of the traditional Jew when they're reading the Torah. And these are different from academia. And he says, unless you understand that the assumptions are different, you can't really kind of understand what's going on. So I want to just briefly explain what these four assumptions that he talks about are and then make some comments about them. So he says, these are the assumptions that you make when you're a religious person reading the Torah. And in brief, they are the following four. Number one, that the Torah is cryptic. Number two, that there are lessons to be learned from the Torah. Number three, that there are no contradictions. And number four, that it's from God. Now, what does that mean more specifically? So number one is that it's a cryptic text. It's not obvious what's going on. If the Torah says A, it can sometimes mean B. In other words, there's an underlying meaning which has to be discovered. That could be worked out through logic and rationality, or it could be from oral law that's been passed, oral knowledge that's been passed down and between. But there's other things underneath what's going on in the text. It's not just the superficial straight reading of what's going on, but there's hidden meanings that need to be uncovered. And that's what you do when you're doing Jewish learning. And that's why every word matters, because you're trying to make sense of what's going on. Now, number two is that the assumption of interpreters is there are lessons for today. This is not a historical document just telling you what happened in the past or explaining something to you. It's actually a way of learning how to guide your life today. So if you're reading about the life of Moshe and his challenges as a leader, then if you're a leader, it's relevant to you right now. That's why there's always the rabbi that says, this week's Seder is about the mitzvah boy, and gives us hold of our Torah, how it relates to it. In other words, you take the text as something to apply to you now. You wouldn't necessarily do that with a secular text and say, this is talking to me. You'd say the author had an opinion, was writing something for them in that time. Maybe teach you a lesson, a general one, but that was then. But this now is no. In any time, in any context, the Torah is talking to you and your experience, which is quite a radical understanding, but that's kind of an assumption that goes on in traditional Jewish learning. The third one is there are no contradictions or mistakes. And therefore, if the Torah says one thing in one place and another place, were we in slavery in Egypt for 400 years or 430 years, you know, one in Genesis and one's in Exodus, different versions, or if a book in the Prophets describes that the order of the 10 plagues differently in Psalms than it does here, or there's different versions or seemingly contradictory things, the Book of Chronicles has different lists of kings than in the Book of Kings and Samuel, then they're not contradictions. They need to be tied together. There's an underlying unity, which if you understand what each verse meant in its context, it will all come together. It's all one big unity that can all holistically be tied together. That's the third assumption. There's no contradictions and no mistakes. And the fourth one is that it is divine. It is from God. And not just the Torah, really, because you can see the way the Gemara and the Midrash analyze all verses of the Bible and use them and quote them and analyze them, that we see that it's somehow all from God. It's not written by human, that it's somehow divine. Every word, every sentence of the entire Bible. These are the four assumptions that Kugel says that the traditional learning does. And I would argue that in more to the right, that's exactly what they do. Right? They will never say there's a mistake in the Torah or can't explain it in a historical way. They'll always say it's trying to teach us a lesson from now. It's always from God. It always fits together and there's always deeper lessons to it. So what does the modern Orthodox Jew do with these things? Because we've kind of tampered with this stuff and said, wait a second, we can look at Near East history or different kinds of literary conventions of writing or look at Egyptology or look at how, you know, literary structures and so on and try and make sense of that. Are we clashing with these four assumptions? Is it not orthodox to do that? Well, the way I see it is that it's just a kind of more thoughtful way of looking at these four. So let me go through them again briefly and tell you what I mean. So number one, that the text is cryptic. So that means there is a basic Peshat understanding of it that's going on. And we say that the Torah never goes away from its Peshat meaning, but there's always deeper ideas underneath them. But those cryptic ideas aren't just the ones in the Midrash, they're ones that we can work out ourselves. That's the nature of the literary structure, that's how it works. And great literature, Lahavdil, whether it's Shakespeare or great Russian writing or so on, has many layers through the way the language is told, and phraseology and grammar that shows you underlying deeper ideas that are really going on. And great movies, as you know, I'm a big fan of movies, that, you know, there's a kind of underlying level of what's really going on. There's that famous scene in Woody Allen's Annie Hall where he's having his first conversation with this girl that he likes, this woman that he likes. And there's the conversation, and underneath they have subtitles. And he's speaking in English, and so is she, and the subtitles are in English. So it's not a translation, it's a underlying of what he's really thinking. So he says one thing, and the subtitles tell you what he's really thinking. And that's, I've always thought, kind of the way the Torah works. There's these deeper levels going on, which we can understand, not just from oral law that's passed down to us, but by really kind of marinating in the text and really feeling the scenario, and even sometimes trying to act it out, and you kind of understand what's really going on a deeper level. And so, in that sense, modern scholarship can be applied to this first of the four assumptions. The second assumption, that there are lessons to be learned for today, again, for me, it's not that the lessons were directly trying to talk to me now, it's that if this is the eternal deep word of God in some fundamental sense, then it, of course it will have relevance for me, but I've got to find it. Not on a simplistic level of, oh, you know, the bar mitzvah boy is a basketball player and there's a mention of a ball in the seder throwing something and some kind of childish link. No, on a deeper level, the Torah is talking about issues in our lives and they'll have relevance to us. And therefore, when I prepare Dvar Torah, I always think, what is the Torah of this person? What is the Torah of this moment? What is the Torah of this situation? And I just try and read and let it kind of speak to me in that sense. But I'm not trying to force it in there. It comes out of the way the Torah really is. So it's not what I call a vort for me is kind of a made up tidbit of Torah that's not related to the whole system. That's just kind of invented. And it's like looking at science and saying, you know, oh, there's no atmosphere on the moon, and therefore we have to learn to have atmosphere in our lives. You know, some kind of coy, simplistic moral lesson from a scientific statement, but it's not related to science itself. That, for me, isn't Torah. For Torah, for me, is a vort can be just a good vort can be a chipping off of one aspect of the bigger picture of Torah. So you have to have an understanding of what the Torah is about, what it's saying, sedra by sedra. But there could be one part of it that you can kind of chip off and explain for this context is relevant for the now. But it's not inventing some kind of simplistic thing that's nothing to do with the body of knowledge that is Torah. That, for me, is kind of a bit weird. That's not real learning. But the lessons come from the great edifice of Torah with all its complexity. And the challenge for you is to fly around it and look for the bit that's relevant for now. Not to kind of invent it and force it in. And I always kind of sit there really shocked when I hear people doing that kind of stuff, but that naturally flows out. And then you feel, oh, they've touched on an element of Torah and it is relevant for now. And that's a magical moment. And the third approach of no contradictions or mistakes, again, the modern Orthodox person would say, again, there's no contradictions or mistakes, but the contradictions are not to be solved in some kind of simple way of just tying the two together so there's no argument, but maybe there's a tension in a contradiction. A human being can feel and think contradictory ideas at the same time. And maybe that tension is what the Torah is trying to tell us. And solving the contradiction is not answering it, but saying, you know what, some aspects of life and consciousness are a contradiction. And understanding that to be the case at the same time. And the fourth one, that it's all from God. Again, so, you know, a modern Orthodox person would say sometimes that the language is similar to writings of ancient Egypt or Babylon, or similar structures of numbering systems and so on. But that doesn't mean that it isn't from God. What it means is that it was a language that was Katuv Tarkal Shom Bnei Adam. It was a language that we could understand. So Hashem, or the language, borrows from the way of thinking that we have, our conscious structures. I mean, if God's going to communicate to us in language, God has to use some language, right? And that language is not, I mean, some people believe that Hebrew is this kind of magical language from Sinai and it didn't evolve, but the more modern Orthodox would say, no, Hebrew is an evolved language related to ancient Phoenician and other previous languages that we spoke at the time. And God has to communicate in that language to us. And that's not a weakness. That's the ability of any ideology or fundamental truth to connect to the people that it's talking to harness every aspect of it to speak to them then. And in that sense, if we know what the literary conventions were of 13th century BCE, And if we know what the cultural references were to them, and it's clearly agricultural society, it doesn't talk about stocks and shares, it talks about goring an ox. So we have to know about oxes. Imagine in 1,000 years in the future where no one has any oxes and every food is made by some artificial intelligence structure. And you read the Tar and you talk about goring an ox. Well, you know what it is? So they'll tell you, oh, there used to be oxes. In other words, you have to know about physical reality and what it was then in order to understand the context in which the Torah was written. That doesn't limit it in a sense. It's saying that it was written at that time, and therefore, in my opinion, the more you know about the history, it doesn't take you away from traditional learning, it deepens your understanding of it. So I would argue that the modern Orthodox Jew, the more open one, is open to all different ways of reading Torah, but can still be loyal to these four approaches that Krugel is saying is traditional Orthodoxy, which I fundamentally believe in, and therefore is different from academic research, although it has many overlaps with it. So I hope that was interesting and useful for you. It's a great book if you want to read it. Got some quite shocking upper courses in it, Krugel, but it's useful to know Dharma Lashiv and his last chapter, which has been debated on this, is of why he still believes traditionally, even with all his knowledge of biblical criticism, which on his website led to hundreds of pages of debate, is definitely worth reading. So it's called How to Read the Bible, published by Free Press. Just looking what year it was, 2007, but definitely a classic to read. But those four assumptions, I think, are fundamental to Jewish learning. So there we go. Thank you very much. Be well. And if it's coming up to Shabbat, Shabbat Shalom. And if it's the week, then Shavuot Tov. Bye-bye.